right, we are looking at the heart of Jesus Christ. That's the key theme through this book. And looking not just at his attributes, but who he is as a person, and then what that means to us as believers. And it's a great encouragement. It should be a great challenge. And remember, at the core of the Christian life, and this is very important what I'm saying, this is not directly in the book here, but at the core of the Christian life, anything that you will ever do for him will come from a genuine love for the Lord Jesus that comes out of a real relationship. The minute you get into duty, the minute you get into even wisdom, you get into the fact that these things are wise to do, you still will be lacking that deep motivation. And so it's so important to understand who the Lord is. Now, I touched on chapter 2 last week or 2 weeks ago at the end of the time. And we started talking about the evidence of the heart of the Savior as seen in his interaction with the different people that had needs. And before I get to that, let me just read the theme verse again. That's Matthew 11:29. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. That's the only time in Christ's recorded teachings that he gives us a definition of his own heart. Now, we know much about his attributes, which are very important, but here he gives us his own personal, just who he is as a person. He is meek and lowly. He's selfless. He is very much wanting the best for us. He doesn't have to prove himself. He is God, so there's no lick of pride with God. He can humble himself and be a servant because he is God, and that is just the way it is. And let me say it again, that it is one of the keys to having humility is to have your identity in Christ really solid. When you have confidence in who you are in Christ, then it doesn't matter if you have to serve somebody else or you get no credit or you do something that's, you know, not maybe up to what you think your level is. And everybody fights that. But when you're really confident in Christ, you can be, you can have a servant's attitude. And so we get a real idea of his heart. Go back to Matthew chapter 8. We touched on this last week, but I want to use this illustration again from the Word of God, which really shows us his heart. And we read in verse 1 of chapter 8, when he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. So the leper is saying, Lord, you have the ability. It gets down to will you. Will you make the decision to make me clean? And Jesus, before he said anything, put forth his hand and touched him, which was totally against the law to touch a leper. And that was to protect people, because the only way you got leprosy was from actual contact. And so that's why lepers had to be outside of where people lived. It was a terrible existence that they had to live. And so Jesus shows his heart and his answer by first doing what seemed to be totally out of line, and that was to touch him. He wanted him to know that he loved him. A loving touch like that means a lot. Now, of course, the moment he touched him, he was not unclean. So the Lord doesn't break the law. That was mainly a human protection, but the Lord knew that that would be taken care of. But still, it's an amazing thing. But going back to this, he says, He put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will. I love that, I will. That's the heart of Christ. Be thou clean, and immediately his leprosy was cleansed. We talked also about the paralytic friend that came to Jesus. They put him through the roof, and you have over in chapter 9, verse 2, and let's actually go to verse 2. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. Now, here's a man that needed healing, but what was the Lord Jesus most concerned about? His spiritual condition. And God uses the compassion to reach us. The goodness of God brings us to repentance. When people begin to realize that the Lord loves them, I have found with Muslim people, they don't know what to do with the fact that God loves them, because that's not their God. Allah does not have that personal relationship. Jesus loves you. And that begins to really stir them. And I've seen that on several occasions. And so he said, the sins be forgiven thee. Evidently there was faith there. And then the scribes rebuke him for saying that. And then he says in verse 5, for whether it's easier to say thy sin be forgiven thee, or to say arise and walk, but that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. And then saith he to the sick of the palsy, arise, take up thy bed, and go into thine house. And so that was a great lesson to those folks there, to let them know that he has the power. That's why God does things, for us to realize who he is. Remember, anything good that God does to us has the ultimate purpose of doing spiritual good for us. It's wonderful to have physical issues taken care of, but never is that isolated alone. Now, God, the Lord Jesus, loves us and wants to meet our physical needs, but he knows that our spiritual needs are the critical issue of our life. And so anytime God works, we need to realize that God's doing something in our life. And then, again, I touched on this very fast. There in Matthew 9, I often preach on this. He saw the crowds and he had compassion on them, for they were as sheep having no shepherd. He realized they were heading to destruction because they were being taught falsehood by their spiritual leaders. He had compassion on them, and so he gave them the truth that they needed. You have him having compassion when they simply did not have something to eat. Think of that. The God of heaven was burdened about the fact that they did not have the food that they needed to be able to sustain themselves. And so he had compassion. Just think that, again, when you think of the Lord Jesus and that personal heart of his. And then twice he broke down and wept. That was on the road into Jerusalem, when he looked over Jerusalem and he said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. And he wept. I mean, this, when you see somebody lose it, that's the kind of weeping we're talking about. And then, of course, in John chapter 11, when he comes to the grave, it wasn't that he was thrown by Lazarus dying. It just caused great heart sorrow for him to see Mary and Martha and their friends crying the hopelessness of humanity got a hold of him. And on that one, he was racked with emotion. Now, I'm going over this again because that's the heart of the Savior. You need to realize that he is touched with the feelings of your infirmities. It's not a God up there that's sort of a force. We have a very personal Savior who is touched by us individually, and his heart is meek and lowly, and he is wanting to meet our needs. Now, the reason the writer is emphasizing this at the beginning, if you don't really believe that, then you're going to run into all kinds of problems in your life. If we question the motives of God, if we question the heart of God, we will not appreciate how circumstances occur in our life. We will not believe and have that depth of rest in God that He will work this out for good. When you know someone is good and they love you and what they do is in your best interest, you trust them. You really do. I mean, I trusted my dad. He proved it to me that he loved me. It was a personal love. I trusted him, which really helped me trust the Lord. And that's the way it is with the Lord. So it's so important that you believe this. And we need to realize that the Lord endeavored to reach everyone. He endeavored to reach Pilate in how he even interacted. He endeavored to reach Judas Iscariot. But think of the people that he spent the most time with. Were they the ones that were the high nobility of Judea? Were they the ones that were the wealthy ones? Now he did. He healed the nobleman's son. He healed the centurion's servant. When requested, he would heal anyone. But the crowds around him, let me just say this. If you had been there at Christ's time and seen the crowds around him, you would have been a little uneasy. You know, you go to a third world situation and you're really burdened to reach the folks, but American lifestyle is on a high level, okay? Hygiene, health, just all kinds of things, cleanliness and so forth. And you get in a crowd of people in a very poverty-stricken nation, which I've been in on several occasions, even though you have a heart for them, it's not easy. You know, it's just the way it is. That's the kind of crowd that surrounded Jesus. Needy people of all stripes, from the top to the bottom. But he denied no one. The lowest of the low would be the lepers or a blind person. They were despised. And tax collector, you name it. And the Lord had a heart for everyone. And it's just amazing when you look at that. And so it's important for us to understand that even though Christ is perfect and holy, He is very burdened about us, even when we feel bad about ourselves. Okay. Have you ever felt hopeless? Have you ever felt like you're a failure? Ever felt like you just haven't measured up? It's important at that time to have it really clear in your mind that that's right when the Lord wants to help you. He's not rejecting you. He is trying to reach you. And that voice in your ear is not the Lord. That is Satan, who is trying to discourage you and to get you to go inward and to not believe that God really does care about you. He either gets us to be self-sufficient on the one side, or he gets us to be self-introspective to where we just think we have no hope. In either case, he's got us, because we are looking at the flesh. We are not looking at the Lord. These are simple truths, but they're very important. And now, there is an important balance here, and I appreciate this. What's being talked about is that all of the attributes of God are critically important, and it is important to have a balance on everything, because you can so emphasize God's heart that is meek and lowly and His mercy that you de-emphasize His holiness, His justice, His plan for us, His power. And so it's important not to, in understanding how gracious the Savior is, to make him what he's not. His graciousness, his love comes out, and get this, it comes out of his holiness, because he's perfect, he's selfless. It comes out of his power, he's able to do anything. It comes out of his sovereignty, because he has wisdom and control over everything. And so we must keep the biblical perspective of who this one is that touches us and heals us, embraces us, forgives us. A Puritan said, when Christ saw the people in misery, his bowels yearned within him. The works of grace and mercy in Christ, they came from his bowels first. That is, whatever Christ did, he did it out of love and grace and mercy. But then he goes on one step deeper. He did it inwardly from his very bowels. The Jesus given to us in the Gospels is not simply one who loves, but one who is love. Merciful affection stream from his innermost heart as rays from the sun. So in believing that he's meek and lowly and that he truly is moved with compassion for us ought to strengthen in our minds the attributes of who he is. That to me then is a perfect, holy God. That is a God who knows what justice means and why he needs to reach us while we can be reached. He's one that understands what's going to happen if we are not reached. He is one that is perfectly selfish, and his love is out of his holiness. He has zero selfishness within him, and he truly wants the best for us. And you could go on down the line on his attributes. And so it's very important, and it's stated, I'm not going to get into this, but in the early centuries of the church, there were several councils that dealt with one issue. What do you emphasize, the deity of Christ or his humanity? Well, the answer is both. He is the very God and he's the very man. If we only emphasize that he's God, we forget the incarnation. That means we are saved, and we forget his personal involvement in our lives. If we only emphasize his humanity, we don't have a God that could save us and a God that is able to work, and that is heresy. Both are heresies. And so you say, well, how much God and how much man? He was 100% God, 100% man. You say, I don't understand it. Well, join the club, okay? There are certain things that are beyond human thinking because we are finite. But you know, in your heart you understand it. I have no. Now, here's the best way to understand it. You're different now that you're saved, aren't you? Before you were saved, your spirit was lost in sins and trespasses. It was dark. It was cut off from God. Then you were saved. You became a new creation. And you were created in righteousness and true holiness. You're a new man, as the Bible says. And the Spirit of God indwells you. So, to think about that, you're perfectly righteous and God himself indwells you, but are you still humanity? Unfortunately, we still have the flesh, not like the Lord didn't. But all I'm trying to say is your spirit, it's powerful what your spirit is. And the more you allow the Spirit of God to work, the more you see the blessing of God. Well, let's put it this way. I have no problem getting a hold of this because his spirit was divine, but he was human. In other words, just like us, we have a spirit. We're now transformed. We have the Spirit of God indwelling us. We have all potential. We can do all things through Christ, yet we know our humanity, right? And he had real humanity, but his spirit was divine. He was the Creator God. I don't know if that helps, but it certainly helps me. Remember, we are able to understand a lot about the Savior just simply because he became one of us. And a lot can clarify itself on that. So we've got to be very careful of the balance that needs to be made. You overemphasize the humanity of Christ, you're going to lose his attributes and what the Bible says about him. if you overemphasize the deity of Christ and all, you are going to not know the heart, as we're talking about, of the meek and lowly Savior. And by the way, it's out of his divinity that he was meek and lowly, but it was expressed through his humanity. Well, you got a little doctrine today. Are you surviving? Okay, got to make sure we do talk a little bit about that. All right, several things here to mention. The wrath of God and the mercy of God are not at odds with each other. And that's important for us to understand. the fact that God is holy and his wrath is against sin helps us understand even more the greatness of his mercy and his love for us. And so it is an amazing thing that God is wrathful against sin, but he loves us, and that's why he died on the cross, and that's why he can meet our need, even though that's who he is. And this is a concept that is, I don't know if I can just get it across right away. We so think of his attributes, and we got to believe them fully. And his heart reflects all of those. But his heart is who he is. In other words, what I'm trying to say is that we are not speaking of another attribute being his heart. That's just his person. In other words, it's just a blend of everything. And so when he's meek and lowly, he couldn't be meek and lowly if all the other attributes weren't real. That actually distills it down to the place that that's who our God is. And, you know, you may be strong, a very strong person. You may have different abilities. You've got different attributes. But you really want people to know who you are, not your abilities, right? That's not a totally good comparison. But don't you want people to know your heart? I wish somebody would just understand me. Ever thought that? Who I really am? Well, we need to know all about the strengths and ability and power of the Lord Jesus. But you need to know who he is as a person. And none of that is any lessened. That's what makes him who he is as a person. All right, now that I've thoroughly confused you. That's important. And I think that's, you know, God wants you to know him. I am all about, that's why, what is it, every year or so you're going to have a Bible doctrines opportunity in BCMI at 5 o'clock. Why do we have that? You need to know God. You need to know everything about him. That will be the way you can get to know him. But to know about him is not the same as knowing him. But you can't know him if you don't know the truth about him. So it's all in one package. And so you will find some books that emphasize the one over the other. And it can have the intellectualism over here, or you can have this personal thing about Jesus who is not really Jesus because they don't deal with who he really is from his attribute standpoint. Almost make him an unholy Jesus. The way they talk, some books just talk about him in such a colloquial way that it just, Let's talk about how personal loving he is, meek and lowly, but let's don't bring him down on the level of a human being in our culture. I mean, that's not who he is. Jesus would be very meek and lowly if he were to be here as he was prior to his glorification and sit down, you would know there's something very different about this man. Okay, you would be arrested by the fact there's something different about him. And he's not on our level, but he became one of us. Does that make sense? I mean, let's be very careful. Don't get him down on the level of fallen humanity. We've got to keep him. And by the way, you'll notice anything we ever do, we never show a face or a person of Jesus in the sense of giving that. We don't have somebody act out Jesus. It just brings him down. I want my picture. And I, by the way, I encourage you, don't watch films about Jesus, really. I know many of you have, nothing wrong necessarily. But I want my mental image to be spiritual image from the Word of God about who Jesus is, because no one can portray. One of the things that happened in the Passion of Christ, the man who portrayed Jesus is not a Christian. Well, that's a problem. You know, that's a problem. Anybody that's going to ever portray Jesus, they would have to be a man that walked with God, you know. And then also, what's the television program that goes on and on? The Chosen. A number of those folks are not saved. I don't think the man that portrays Jesus is. I don't think we should watch it, and for a number of reasons, but anyway, I don't mean to get controversial here. Honestly, the Word of God gives us what we need. We need to have a pure concept that the Spirit of God gives to us. And so I think we need to be very, very careful. But let me end with this. Here, we're trying to balance it, and that's exactly what this chapter is trying to do. I'm going to run out of time here. But we do need to be absolutely convinced that He's merciful and gracious, that He's meek and lowly, that He really cares about us, that He is ready to meet our needs. He knows the problems you have. He's not rejecting you. The Holy Spirit is in you to draw you to Him. And if you truly believe that that's your Savior, it will bring you through the difficult times, because everyone has a tendency to have self-condemnation or push off conviction and go the other direction. And we need to have the balance on that. All right. There's one more thought before I remember. Can you imagine what he went through as he walked through a world that was filled with pain and suffering? He suffered the whole time. But he knew he was going to the cross. And he met the needs. By the way, when he healed, he only brought back to the original condition they were in. You know, he didn't interfere. He just caused them to be back to the right perspective. But when you get down to the heart of the Lord, I'll just leave you with this. When you take off the veil of His humanity and look at His heart, and His heart, of course, is part of His humanity, but it's actually to His full divinity, what you unwrap is love. For God so loved. And it's vital, ladies. It is vital. It's absolutely vital that you believe it with your whole heart, that He loves you unconditionally. Now, He's all the other things. You have to come to Him by faith for salvation. You have to come to Him by faith in any area. God is a God that will destroy this earth in one day. But the heart of the Lord is meek and lowly. And He is ready. He is ready to meet your need if you will believe that. Let Him touch you. If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And He will say every time, I will. I'll do it. I'll touch it. I'll meet that need. Many of you have walked with God for a long time. Has He ever let you down? Has He ever cast you out? No, He hasn't. What a Savior. And I trust as we go through these chapters that you'll really develop a love for Him and a deep conviction that that's the Savior that you have.